shed some tears, then they'll listen to you. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as good as my pastor's sermon. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 and 2 Kings as we continue with our Old Testament survey. We're going through the entire Older Testament, and we have miles and miles to go before we sleep, and if we get tired of this at any point, you or me, we'll stop and go do something else and come back to this. But I really want to get through it because I think it's important that Christians learn to appreciate and understand the Older Testament. Now, I'm not doing verse by verse. There's not that much time. I'm too old for that, and I'll be dead before we got through Genesis. But I do want you to know that what we're doing is taking every book of the Older Testament. I'm giving you some handles that'll help you understand it. We're looking at some major themes. And then generally I'm becoming a tour director to kind of lead you through a particular book and show you some of the sites. Now, if you were listening last week, we introduced this particular study, and we saw that that the First Kings opens with the end of David's reign at the age of 70 and his passing of the crown to his son Solomon. After the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided. All of First and Second Kings deals with the reign of some 39 kings, 20 in the south and 19 in the north. We saw that we don't know who wrote 1st and 2nd Kings. Tradition says Jeremiah did it, but we're not sure about that. Then we looked at three major themes. Position, power, and authority carry a very great responsibility. Secondly, God is long-suffering. He is very patient, but sometimes he says enough is enough. And thirdly, we saw that in the midst of the most terrible sin and rebellion, God is not without his witness. As bad as it gets in this country, if you're a believer, you're it. Then we looked at 1 Kings 1:6, and we saw how David allowed his sin to make him into a bad father, because he didn't admonish Adonijah's sin and his problems by saying, "Why have you done thus and so?" And he became a spoiled brat. And that happens sometimes. Our sin prevents us from being obedient. Don't ever let that happen. God knows you're a sinner. But always be a beggar talking to other beggars, but always be truthful about what God says to both of us. Often in the pulpit I'll say, "Look, I place myself under the same authority that I'm teaching you. And so as I teach myself in the study preparing to teach you, the guilt that I'm going through, I'm going to share with you, because misery likes company." And then we look at 2 Kings 3:10 through 14, where Solomon had asked for wisdom, and God had given him that and long life and riches also when he hadn't asked for those things. And then at the end of last week, I said that while Solomon was wise, he was fallen just the way you are and just the way I am. And so when you begin to look at some of the bad stuff in his life, it causes you to wince. Eric said to me, "Oh, if he was so wise, how come there was so much bad stuff in him?" Listen, in a fallen world, when a dog plays checkers, you don't criticize his game. You're just pleased and surprised that he's playing at all. So Solomon was wise. There's no doubt about that. And I haven't gone into some of the particulars of that. You remember how he handled the two women who claimed to have the baby. He was going to cleave the baby in half. And the woman that screamed, "You can't do that, give it to her," was the mother. What a wise, incredibly wise thing to do. But we're not looking at that. I want to show you some bad stuff in the life of King Solomon, hoping that you and I will learn thereby. First, he had a major problem with compassion. He just didn't care. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Kings 2:24. Now, his mother, and remember, this was his mother, had made a request on behalf of his brother. Now, that was reasonable. You know, my mother used to say to me about my brother, "Look out for your little brother." And I did until he died, and that almost killed me because I couldn't fix it. Well, Solomon's mother came to him and made a request on behalf of his brother. And this is what he said: Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of David, my father, and who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. That's a problem with compassion. In fact, it's a major problem with compassion. Let me tell you something. I haven't been a Christian so long I've forgotten how much fun it was to be a pagan. But let me tell you something that God has also done. I haven't been a Christian so long that I've forgotten how lonely it is to be a pagan. I haven't been a Christian so long that I've forgotten how painful and empty it was to be a pagan. I haven't been a Christian so long that I've forgotten how guilty I was when I was a pagan. I haven't been a Christian so long that I've forgotten how afraid I was when I was a pagan. Ask God to do that for you, and He will. One of the problems with a lot of us is that we appear so very arrogant that we've got it together. God saved us, and you're going to hell, and I'm glad. Now, I know we don't think that, but that sometimes is the attitude that we communicate to other people. And God ought to say to us, when they see your tears, they'll listen to your message. Charles Spurgeon said to his students, whenever you preach on hell, make sure you have tears in your eyes. When they see your tears, then they will listen to your message. Are you able to weep? Are you able to sense? You know, let me give you some specifics. Like in the pro-life, pro-abortion debate. Now, you need to know that that I'm pro-life. By the way, in Florida, we have pro-life license plates that the state produce. They charge you an arm and a leg. But you can get a pro-life, choose life license plate because our governor approved it when the former governor had vetoed it. Now, it's still in the courts, and I might not be able to keep mine, but I put that license plate on the back of my car, and it's kind of a mild, joyful witness. It shows little children on it, and it says, choose life. I think that's good. And I think Christians, if they're thoughtful about it, will be pro-life. I mean, I don't understand how you can be anything but pro-life. But once you become pro-life, it's very important that you show compassion for mothers who are not married and are trying to deal with what they're going to do with another pregnancy. It's very important that we reach out in compassion. In other words, we show our tears so they'll listen to our message. And I think sometimes we proclaim the message, and sometimes with great skill and sophistication, but they never saw our tears. Until they see our tears, they'll never hear our message. Solomon didn't have many tears. When you're too rich, it'll do it to you. When you've got too much, it'll do it to you. When you live in a big house, it'll do it to you. When everything works out for you, it'll do it to you. But I'll tell you something. It'll destroy the witness that you have. And so ask God for compassion. Say, Father, help me to feel the pain of the people to whom I relate. And if I can't feel their pain, don't let me say anything. So Solomon had a problem with compassion, and that's a dangerous thing for all of us. Then secondly, Solomon had a problem with pride. 1 Kings 10, the queen of Sheba flattered Solomon. And then we read, this is the 13th verse in the 10th chapter of 1 Kings, and King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. Years ago, before there was a Key Life, a man who was running an agency took me out to lunch. And he said, Steve, you're one of the best Bible teacher I have ever heard in my entire life. You are so incredibly profound. And then he said, you know, you're pretty good looking, too. And then I knew he was lying. And then I started thinking about what he was saying. And then I realized he's flattering me so he can get what he wants. And the reason he's getting away with it is because I have a pride problem. Sir Thomas Browne said, I thank God amongst those millions of vices I have inherited and hold from Adam, I have escaped the problem of pride. You know what God did? God blushed. God blushed because in his saying of it, he had missed the very point of the admonishment. It can happen to you. Don't Don't ever have people around you who never criticize you, never hold you accountable, never say what they think. You'll become a poor preacher if you're a preacher, a poor pastor if you're a pastor, and a poor servant of Christ in any other area of your life. The problem with Solomon is that he had people around him that were yea-sayers. They told him he was wonderful. They told him everything was fine. They told him, you are so godly and you are so wise, and nobody, including his mother, told him the truth. And that's a dangerous place for anybody who belongs to God to be for very long. Then thirdly, there was another, and I'm going to say a little bit more about this tomorrow, but let me mention it. There was the sin of idolatry. In 1 Kings 11, there's the description of all the foreign wives of Solomon, and he is allowing them to bring their foreign gods into the kingdom. 11:9-10, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appointed to him so much, and God had commanded him concerning this thing, in fact, twice, that he should not go after other gods. Listen, don't, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, but today, remember, don't you worship at anybody's altar but God's. You think about that. I'm in. Listen, if you don't have the Spring Magazine, I sure hope you'll give me a call or drop a note and ask for it. It centers around the subjects of resurrection and death and resurrection of Christ. I wrote a piece called Why Jesus Had to Die. Phil Yancey has this wonderful piece called Makeover. The magazine includes a question and answer column. There's a lot of information about our Lake Barkley conference. Hope you can come this year. My itinerary is there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Let me know. Give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or email us at steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address. And the magazine is absolutely free, and I recognize that most of you aren't able to help us financially. But this is a very expensive ministry, and if you could be a champion, you would touch so many other lives. Pray about it, and if God calls you to do it, help us out financially and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, A Word for the Discouraged. Gotta go! Give us the call letters when you write or call, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.